Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Snap Reactions.
Week 7. Wide receiver position. Here we go. All right, looking down the RDP ranking. So, again, RDP is median. So, we're just ranking basically the order of the median. So, Justin Jefferson came in the highest. He is 8th in terms of PPR scoring. You'll take it. I mean, with his age, with his production, it's fine. I think you have a pretty good argument there for him to be wide receiver 1 based on where he is. A lot of AIDS insulation up there, a lot of value insulation up at that cost point. So pretty excited about him. I think where you have him, absolutely it's a smashing success given what you paid. Tyreek Hill is 3rd in PPR points per game at an RDP of he's basically the 2nd RDP, so his RDP was 3. Meaning he went, the middle of where he went was 3rd in the wide receiver rankings. So right on pace again. It's the interesting part about this whole Chiefs falling from the sky, Chicken Little thing is like everyone's producing. Like Mahomes is a top 5 quarterback. Tyreek Hill's a top 3 wide receiver. Kelsey's a wide receiver 1. Like, it's funny the disconnect between some of the national media and some of the fantasy media and then reality. DK Metcalf's absolutely disappointment again. Here's the interesting part about some of these things is like when you look at it, you have some questions, for example, about whether he was truly the best player on his team. Again, I was never comfortable with him at that cost. I would have said Jefferson clearly over him. Just in terms of everything, in terms of profiles and all that stuff, I just like Jefferson more. Again, now you get 15 for DK Metcalf, 3.5. Some of that, of course, is the Russell Wilson angle, and the lack of Wilson is hurting. But we'll see when he comes back if he could potentially ramp it up. It's not a catastrophe, but it is a loss for sure. AJ Brown, this one's bordering on a bigger loss. 39th in terms of PPR points per game, 4th in terms of RDP. I had some questions about him coming in, and one of the big questions that I had about AJ Brown was really the fact that he was. I just thought he was overpriced. Everyone was pricing him at his high variance level, which is always a concern. It's always a concern when you price someone at your high variance level. It just gives me a lot of pause, and that was the thing with him. I just had a hard time seeing that, ultimately. So now we're kind of paying the price for it, if we're being totally honest. That's what we're paying the price for, a lack of the variance. There's other things going on too, but you go up, you spend a huge pick on someone that's basically double the touchdown. Double their expected touchdowns. Like, what do you expect is going to happen? Like, at some point, he's either the all-time greatest receiver in terms of producing touchdowns, or he's going to regress. Like, one of those two things is true, and I tend not to bet on guys being all-timers. I think that's really if we're going to sort of put it on a bumper sticker, like, don't bet on guys being outliers is kind of an analytics of dynasty thing. Like, things happen within a range of outcomes, like use a normal range of outcomes and there you go. And that's kind of the deal with AJ Brown. And, the fact that he went really expensive, like, it was just a clear void. Now, is he a clear buy opportunity? Sure. Yes. Like, now the opposite is true. Now he's a buy. But again, he's almost exactly on expectation. And again, is some of that volume stuff, like he's played 6 games, yada yada, but expected for 24.8 receptions, has 25. Expected for 370 and has 354 in terms of receiving yards. So again, 16, a little more than 16 yards under expectation, rounding there. 2.9 touchdowns expected, he's got 2, right? So when you go back and you sort of look at that, he's okay, like, all right, now all of a sudden, 13.3 points per game is his expectation. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, shoot. Like, all right, that's on pace for, that's wide receiver 30. Like, oh, okay. Well, last year when he was doing his high variance thing, you know, he was in that range. You know, that's not a totally dissimilar thing. He was 29 last year. Again, he was 4 points over expectation. He was 29th in terms of expected points last year. Again, last year he's 5.5 points, 5.5 touchdowns expected. He has 11. You know, when you look in 2019, you know, it's similar in terms of the overproducing. You know, he's at 58th in terms of expected points at 9.6. Again, 3.7 in terms of touchdown. Again, that, remember, that was an injury shortened season there to some degree as well. Yeah, he was banged up in that season, so we can sort of take a little bit of it at a discount, I guess. But 3.7 touchdowns expected. He scored 8, right? 9.6 points he's expected. He scored 13.6. So, again, he has basically been the same player this whole time. Again, you sort of rule out a little bit of that early season stuff for him in his rookie season. Like, I give him a little bit of a break there. I think you should. But, again, he has basically operated in the wide receiver 3 tier of points per game, of expected points per game, which shouldn't shock us given in a Derrick Henry-led, Ryan Tannehill-led offense. But he's doubling up his touchdowns and overproducing. And everyone's like, whoa, look at this. Yeah, like it's bright and shiny and really attractive until, like, it's not. You know, it's like, it's, you know, you're dating the really attractive girl who is a mess, right? Or the really attractive guy who's a mess in college. But, you know, they got their stuff together for a couple weeks. And then all of a sudden, like, things go sour. That's kind of what's going on with A.J. Brown. Like, this is how you end up being 4th in RDP and 39th in terms of points per game scoring. These are the things that happen when you inflate someone up into the top 5 of the position and they are a wide receiver 30 type producer. That is what happens. So you either need a growth in volume, or you need him to stand out like this, or this is what happens. So do I think he's a buy? Yes. But is he a buy? He's got to be like a wide receiver 2 type valuation. Again, these are tough things to go up. And he really needs to go up in terms of volume. And it's just going to be a tough thing to see have happen ultimately. You know, with Julio, with Derrick Henry, like, there's just not a ton of, volume there to be had. It's just sort of my concern with him. Again, when you look at expected, you know, his expected receptions, 24.8. That's, again, in 6 games. That is 43rd at the position. That's problematic. That is absolutely problematic. Again, can he do a lot more than that? Sure. But again, then now you're expecting, you're just expecting something that we haven't really seen happen. And that's a concern that I have with A.J. Brown. So, again, I he's got 41 targets basically through this, and he's missed, I think, 1 game. So, so that's, it's not a ton of stuff that can really change for him is my ultimate concern. All right, let's move on from him. Devontae Adams, 5-5, right, 5th in terms of PPR per game scoring, 5th in terms of RDP, fine. You're missing him this week. Disappointment, we'll see there. Stephon Diggs, 19th in terms of PPR scoring. Well, that's a disappointment. 6th in terms of cost. I still think he's a buy. And the reason I think he's a buy is when you look at his expected points per game, he's still way up there. He's 7th, and he's producing basically 1.8 points below his expectation. So I do think there's going to be growth for him. And I just, you know, when you look at it, he's expected for 4.1 touchdowns. He's got 2. He's right on expectation for receiving yards. He's a little bit above expectation for receptions. He's just below expectations by a couple touchdowns. And I think those things can settle up. And his very, you know, it's a very sturdy profile. So I'm buying of Stephon Diggs. And I think, you know, he'll hook up a couple times with Allen and it'll be fine. CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver 8 in terms of RDP, wide receiver 12 in terms of PPR points per game. This is the Amari, you know, we have these theories, right? I've got the Alexander Mattison theory. I've got a couple of other ones. I get the Kenny Galladay theory. I'm going to start calling it the Amari Cooper theory, which is when you invest in a wide receiver really early in his career when they haven't produced more than like a wide receiver 2 type finish, and you invest in them at like a top 5 cost, buyer beware. And this is the stuff that happens with, we see it over and over again. CeeDee Lamb's 15th and 17th in terms of expected points per game at 15.7. Yes, he's overproducing it, but in terms of points per game, he's at 18.1. Again, that's right on the wide receiver 12 range. Is that fine? Sure. But again, if he does that for a couple years in a row, all of a sudden his price is going to fall, and you're like, oh man, I really shouldn't have paid a top 3 cost for him. So that's the thing that I have concern with him. I know people are putting him up higher. I had a little bit of trepidation, a couple of things. It's a big leap to get there. I mean, taking a leap from being good to very good is a big step. Taking a leap from very good to elite, just truly a difference maker at the position, like that is an enormous gulf to just cross. And I think that's one thing that we have to remember with these things. And I think we tend to do a pretty good job of it in terms of how our discussions about these guys and sort of having reasonable expectations. That is one that I've learned over and over again. Don't bet on. Don't bet on that happening. If it happens, readjust, right? Absolutely readjust. But it's a losing bet. Right? That's one of the things that we have consistently seen. All right, Calvin Ridley is a big time disappointment. 8th in terms of real draft position, 27th in terms of points. I do think, and by the way, as I'm recording this on Tuesday afternoon, Alan Lazard has gone on the reserve list, so you're going to be down another wide receiver for the Packers. So I literally just came across, I'm recording at like 4 o'clock on Tuesday. So if you're sort of going through, again, I'm not really going a team by team specific rundown, but you know, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, we're watching potentially him come back. You know, if Amari Rodgers is out there, you know, maybe this is a Randall Cobb week, start Tanyan, you know, maybe it's an AJ Dillon week. You're going to be running low on weapons as a road underdog there. So just be careful on that. For Green Bay, I think you need to use a little bit of creativity there in terms of what they might offer deeper down at the position. And I was talking about Ridley before I sort of went off track. Ridley is, like I said, 27th in terms of PPR points per game. He's averaging 19.9 expected points per game, and that is good for number 2 at the position. So he is, and I don't have a particularly good explanation for this, and this is what's concerning. He is expected for 416 receiving yards. He has 281. That is just an enormous, enormous difference. And he's almost right at expectation on receiving yards. I mean, he's on receptions, right? He's got 34.4 expected receptions. He's got 31 receptions total. So again, if he's, you know, he's, we'll say it's a little bit less than this, but we'll just say 10%. He's way below that in terms of his yards. So that's something I'm not entirely sure of. Again, I would bet based on volume that things just work their way back towards normal. And they work their way back towards a baseline. And that's something that I just sort of expect for him. We'll see, though. I'm not entirely sure what all that is about. I mean, some of that also could be he was out of game. I know Matt Ryan struggled with some deep balls earlier on in the season, really struggled with that. I tend to think, like, bet on expected points and betting on it going, you know, closer to expectation. These things happen, again, in a pretty narrow range of outcomes. I don't think Calvin Ridley's is basically, 75% of expectation. I think he's probably much closer to, he should be expectation or above it. Right? I think that's an easy one. That's a pretty easy one for me in terms of, I think he's a buy. So 27th in terms of points per game, 2nd in terms of expected points per game. Bet on Ridley. Jamar Chase, 9th in terms of RDP, 4th in terms of points. Great. Really good in terms of your ultimate production. I'm going to just caution again. I don't want to play Johnny Raincloud here, but 33rd in expected points. Let's repeat that again. In the context of what we said about A.J. Brown, he is 33rd in terms of points. Expected points. He is at 20.9 points per game. That is a full touchdown per game, more than a touchdown per game, better than he is than he's expected. So he is, in terms of points over expectation, he is the best, and it is not close. And it is almost all of it. Now, a sizable portion of that is touchdowns. So he's basically expected for 2.1 touchdowns. He has 6. Expected for 481, and he has 754. Again, so those are things where I think if you sort of cut it in the middle, right, if you said, like, hey, maybe he's more of a, you know, let's cut the over expectation aspect of this in half, right? So he's a little bit over 7 points per game over expectation just in terms of receiving yards and touchdowns. So let's just say, all right, like, let's just give him half of that instead. So it's, again, we'll just use, I'm just using round numbers. He's at 7.3, but we'll just use round numbers. So about 3.5. You know, if you just use about 3.5 over expectation, that puts him about 16.5 points per game. And that might be something that he could potentially regress to. That looks much more in the sphere of like wide receiver 2 type production. So just keep that in mind about going up and paying wide receiver 1 costs for him. Those things tend to regress. Some other stuff that I would, especially the touchdown stuff, I'm a believer that guys can produce over expectations in terms of yards. I think it's really, really difficult to produce over expectations consistently in terms of touchdowns, right? So that's the big thing. That's kind of the thing that I think you have to be really careful about. The other thing, too, when you look at him, I mean, he's over expectation in terms of yards after contact, or sorry, yards after the catch. He leads the league. That's one where you can say, all right, like, maybe that's not necessarily the most likely thing to have happen consistently. When you look at separation at the point of the target, he has 2 yards of separation, the 4th lowest in the league. That's Allen Robinson, Devontae Parker, Brian Edwards, and then Jamar Chase. So again, he's playing more of a contested jump ball type role and is getting fine breaks from it. But I think just keep that in mind, that it's a little bit of a caution there is what I would say. The other things, you know, when you look at him, he's got a healthy ADOT as well. So way down the field there. So that's a good thing. But when you look at, you know, the target shares, again, remember, they haven't been fully healthy either. So that would be some stuff that you could just potentially look at. Ultimately, you know, way down the position in terms of targets. I mean, guys that have more targets than Jamar Chase. Ready? Hunter Renfrow, Devonta Smith, Mike Williams, Diggs, Godwin, Jalen Waddle, Marquise Brown, Keenan Allen, Cortland Sutton, Mike Evans, Jacoby Myers, Justin Jefferson, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Cooks, Terry McLaurin, Tyreek Hill, DJ Moore, Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp. So when you're putting him at wide receiver 1, just remember sort of where he is at the position and how much he is over expectation. So just be really careful on that. All right, I feel like I'm playing Johnny Raincloud today, so that's I'm sorry about that, but I just don't want – it's more of a concern for me, and I think that this is an important point. It's more of a concern for me to highlight where we can go wrong overpaying for guys. And this is a case where I think that's true. Again, he's going to get put at wide receiver 1, I would assume, but give me Jefferson over him. DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver 9 in terms of RDP, wide receiver 18 in terms of actual points per game. So that's a disappointment. Again, as you get older – And Carlo has sort of harped this, and I don't know if it's been on pods, but definitely in private conversations, and I'm not outing him in any way with saying this, but as you get older, you have to, you know, a certain amount of, and we see this, and this sort of harkens back to some of the stuff that I've done in past AODs and that are going to come out in 2022, but as you sort of look at guys that don't have a hit, they underproduce guys that do. Why? Well, age insulation. And sort of that uncertainty is valuable to the market. So the market's giving them a little bit of boost. And the converse is true, right? Like, so as you get up at an age, like you don't have any of that stuff. So you kind of need to produce at or above your price to make it worth the while. Is sort of the point there. You know, Hopkins, he is over expectation in terms of touchdowns. So that's good. Again, he's at 16.7 in terms of points per game. He's got 13.6 expected points per game. He's one that that's a concerning figure to me. So I would be a little bit cautious on that. Again, if I don't know what the sell market is like, but if you can pivot up the position, I think that's interesting. He's expected for 4.8 touchdowns and has 7. So he is up above expectation across all stats, but I think that's one where you could say that's probably a situation you might want to try and pivot out of if you can. Scary Terry McLaurin, 16th in terms of PPR points per game, 12th in terms of RDP. He's basically quarterback proof. He's almost going to be the new Allen Robinson, although maybe Allen Robinson isn't the deserver of that moniker anymore, but you get the idea. Early career Allen Robinson. And we're hoping to get Michael Thomas back. He was 12th in terms of RDP entering the season, hopefully, and maybe it'll facelift that offense. It's amazing, given their limitations, how good that team is. DJ Moore, 13th in terms of PPR points per game, 14th in terms of RDP, so right on pace. 17th for Chris Godwin in terms of points per game, 15th in terms of RDP. Pretty close to expectation there. Allen Robinson, 75th in terms of points per game, 15th in terms of RDP. Just a really bad situation there for Allen Robinson. A disappointment for sure. I am hopeful going forward that he can, you know, be better. The problem is 9.7 expected points per game is not going to do it. That's like wide receiver 5 type production. Just not really going to help you there. So definitely okay to pivot off of him if you can. And I've got a league where I'm going to try and pivot off of him and then, you know, just try and avoid the fall. Picking up Mike, I think I might pick up Mike Gesicki in a deal for him. So we'll watch for that. Keenan Allen is at 17th in terms of RDP this past offseason, 25th in terms of points per game. And you could say, oh, look, it's definitely a situation where Mike Williams is outproducing Keenan Allen. They're actually almost exactly on pace for the same amount of expected points. So Mike Williams, 16.6 expected points per game. Keenan Allen, 16.4. Mike Williams, way over expectation at 19.8. Again, that's fueled by 2 more touchdowns than expectation in 6 games. Like, that can add up, and that's basically 3.2 points per game over expectation. That's pretty close to what the difference is. It's a little bit of yardage and stuff in there too, but that is a difference maker in terms of the number. When you look at Keenan Allen, 3.4 expected touchdowns, he's got 1. Again, he is over expectation in terms of receptions and yards as well. It's a difference in touchdowns. So he's one that I would bet on. I like as a firm wide receiver 2 at a wide receiver 1 type cost. A wide receiver discount wide receiver 1 at a wide receiver 2 type cost. So definitely on the buying Keenan Allen perspective. A few more here in terms of just running down the list. Just a different way to discuss these. Brandon Ayuk, just a disaster. T. Higgins, those guys worked together. I totally got that situation wrong. It was, that was not great. When you look at T. Higgins, he's actually 21st in terms of expected points, which is better than I thought he would be. He's 12th. He's 12.5 in terms of actual points per game, so 2 points per game less than his expectation. Not great. Again, it's a little bit all over the board, a little bit under in receptions, a little bit under in yards, a little bit under in touchdowns. So just basically general across the board under expectation there. He is of the Cincinnati guys, though. This will surprise your league mates. Ahead of Ja'Marr Chase. So T. Higgins, 21st in expected points. Ja'Marr Chase, 33rd. So again, just another sign of like, yeesh. beware. Just be very, very aware. And so I actually think T. Higgins is a fine hold at this point. You know, if you could sell him, you know, at a top 15 wide receiver price, by all means. But I think it's actually sturdier than what you might expect, like a second half from Jamar Chase to look like. So just be careful there. Amari Cooper, 18th in terms of RDP, 21st in terms of points per game. Fine. Mike Evans, and this will shock you. This will definitely shock the listeners of this podcast. 20th in terms of RDP, 11th in terms of points per game. It's just an absolutely stunning development that Mike Evans produces another top 24 season. Devonta Smith is 22nd in terms of RDP this past offseason, 48th in terms of points per game so far. You know, I'll be watching for what and 39th in terms of expected points, by the way, just slightly underproducing by about 1.2 points under expectation there, expecting 12.5, averaging 11.2 there. So about rounding, it's 1.2 under expectation, 1.3 right in there. So I'll be interested to watch that in terms of what that quarterback situation looks like. They could be on the potential transition path. I don't know. It's definitely an interesting potential change there. One that is really, I think, and maybe this is a situation where you can actually catch this one while he's still rising. 10th in terms of PPR points for Deontay Johnson. He was 24th in terms of RDP coming into the season. Again, he's one that if he could just get it sort of right, he's looking pretty good. He's 10th in terms of expected points, so that's actually pretty sturdy too. So, you know, he a potential buy candidate, and this might even be one that you do before ADP comes out, because he could potentially be one of those guys that hides a little bit in terms of their ADP. Some guys that are over expectation, we already talked about Jamar Chase. Cooper Kupp, again, it's a touchdown. Like, it's over by 2.7 touchdowns. It's over by almost 200 yards. That's really your difference there. So, ultimately, like, it's decent in terms of all of that. And probably a little bit of regression. Again, I'm more willing to bet that guys can produce receiving yards over expectations than touchdowns. So, just sort of keep that in mind. Deebo Samuel, way over expectation as well, double in terms of touchdowns. So again, I would expect that to come back a little bit. Plenty of yardage, but is actually under in receptions. So some interesting stuff there. Again, he's pretty good after the catch in terms of yards after, you know, running for yards after the catch. And so that's, I think, one of the situations where we've seen that kind of show up as well. So that is good on him there. So those are really the big, I guess, the big stories to watch for. Again, you look at Adam Thielen, again, over expectation, 5 touchdowns this year, 3 expected. So he's just, again, really, really solid in terms of continuously overperforming expectation. So that'll pretty much do it. Again, I think and by the way, you actually did see some of the production from Michael Pittman. If you watched Sunday Night Football, what was an otherwise unwatchable game, he's one that, like, we sort of hoped and expected that it would get better, and he actually comes out and has a pretty good game. So good on him there. I'm just going to highlight the guys under expectation, by the way. I'll just do a quick rundown of the relevant names under expectation. The most under expectation wide receiver in the league, Calvin Ridley. Basically 5.7 points under expectation per game. I just want to sort of highlight that. He is a buy. Odell Beckham Jr., 4.7. I still think he's going to get better. He's expected for about 12.7 points per game. He's producing 8. I still think there's room for growth there. Robbie Anderson, expected for 11.9 points per game. He's at 7.2. It's under by 200 yards. He's actually right on touchdown pace too. So it's just that's more of a troubling one in terms of that profile than some of the other touchdown stuff. In terms of some of the other guys overperforming it, right? That's the under in yards and receptions and stuff. That's given me a little bit of pause. But I will say some of the ancillary metrics on his production, he ranks 96th in terms of catchable target rate at 61.2%. He ranks 96th in terms of target quality rating. He ranks 103rd in catch rate. True catch rate, he ranks at 60th, about 60%. Again, that's outside the top 90. So that's really the concern that I have there with him. I think some of it is not necessarily on him in terms of he's not getting a great ball thrown to him, but he's also not doing much with the balls that are thrown to him. So let's hope we can see a little bit of growth across all of his numbers there. But a disappointment for sure, especially given what had been a pretty solid statistical profile coming into the season. All right, so that'll pretty much do it in terms of guys at the receiver position for this week. We will have I'll have a trade show. Again, we'll do some more of those coming forward, so be on the lookout for those each Thursday. And until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we'll talk again very soon.